People can't, unhappily, invent their mooring post, their lovers, or their friends, any more than they can invent their parents. Life gives these, and also takes them away. And the great difficulty is to say yes to life. I repent now for all the good it does. One particular lie, among the many lies I've told, lived, and believed. This is the lie that I told to Giovanni, but never succeeded in making him believe that I had never slept with a boy before. I had. I decided that I never would again. There is something fantastic in the spectacle I now present to myself of having run so far, so hard, across the ocean even, only to find myself brought up short once more before the bulldog in my own backyard. The yard in the meantime having grown smaller, and the bulldog bigger. I have not thought of that boy, Joey, for many years, but I see him quite clearly tonight. It was several years ago. I was still in my teens. He was about my age, give or take a year. He was a very nice boy, too. Very quick and dark, and always laughing. For a while, he was my best friend. Later, the idea that such a person could have been my best friend was proof of some horrifying taint in me. So I forgot him. But I see him very well tonight. It was in the summer. There was no school. His parents had gone someplace for the weekend, and we were spending the weekend at his house, which was near Coney Island in Brooklyn. We lived in Brooklyn too in those days, but in a better neighborhood than Joey's. I think we'd been lying around the beach, swimming a little, and watching the near-naked girls pass, whistling at them and laughing. I am sure that if any of the girls we whistled at that day had shown any signs of responding, the ocean would not have been deep enough to drown our shame and terror. But the girls, no doubt, had some intimation of this, possibly from the way we whistled, and they ignored us. As the sun was setting, we started up the boardwalk toward his house with our wet bathing trunks on under our trousers. And I think it began in the shower. I know that I felt something as we were horsing around in that small, steamy room, stinging each other with wet towels, which I had not felt before, which mysteriously and yet aimlessly included him. I remember in myself a heavy reluctance to get dressed. I blamed it on the heat. But we did get dressed, sort of. And we ate cold things out of his icebox and drank a lot of beer. We must have gone to the movies. I can't think of any other reason for our going out. And I remember walking down the dark, tropical Brooklyn streets, with heat coming up from the pavements and banging from the walls of houses with enough force to kill a man, with all the world's grown-ups, it seemed, sitting shrill and disheveled on the stoops, and all the world's children on the sidewalks or in the gutters or hanging from fire escapes, with my arm around Joey's shoulder. I was proud, I think, because his head came just below my ear. We were walking along and Joey was making dirty wisecracks, and we were laughing. Odd to remember, for the first time in so long, how good I felt that night, how fond of Joey. When we came back along those streets, it was quiet. We were quiet too. We were very quiet in the apartment, and sleepily got undressed in Joey's bedroom and went to bed. I fell asleep, for quite a while, I think. But I woke up to find the light on, and Joey examining the pillow with great ferocious care. "What's the matter?" "I think a bed bug bit me." "You slob. You got bed bugs?" "I think one bit me." "You ever have a bed bug bite you before?" "No." "Well, go back to sleep. You're dreaming." He looked at me with his mouth open and his dark eyes very big. It was as though he had just discovered that I was an expert on bed bugs. I laughed and grabbed his head, as I had done God knows how many times before, when I was playing with him or when he had annoyed me. But this time, when I touched him, something happened in him and in me which made this touch different from any touch either of us had ever known. And he did not resist as he usually did, but lay where I had pulled him, against my chest. And I realized that my heart was beating in an awful way, and the joy was trembling against me, and the light in the room was very bright and hot. I started to move and to make some kind of joke. But Joey mumbled something, and I put my head down to hear. Joey raised his head as I lowered mine, and we kissed, as it were, by accident. Then, for the first time in my life, I was really aware of another person's body, of another person's smell. We had our arms around each other. It was like holding in my hand some rare, exhausted, nearly doomed bird which I had miraculously happened to find. I was very frightened. I am sure he was frightened too, and we shut our eyes to remember it so clearly, so painfully tonight. Tells me that I had never for an instant truly forgotten it. I feel in myself now a faint, dreadful stirring of what so overwhelmingly stirred in me then, a great thirsty heat and trembling, and tenderness so painful I thought my heart would burst. But out of that astounding, intolerable pain came joy. We gave each other joy that night. It seemed then that a lifetime would not be long enough for me to act, Joey, the act of love.